Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. You are in time for this week's edition of Spiritual Perspectives with Laura Stora, opening up with blessings.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing. Prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Oh, what a powerful truth. Some of the trials of our life, God's mercy in disguise. How could a trial, especially a long, painful trial, possibly be a sign of God's mercy? How could that possibly be? How about this? God knows that in order to be received into his heaven when we die, one of the things that has to happen is we must have purified ourselves. We must have purified ourselves. He makes it clear that only the righteous will be received into heaven. And how many of us have figured out that being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus means a whole lot more than just saying, I'm saved. Means a whole lot more than just going to church. It's so important that we remember that God has stated very emphatically that all of our own righteousness, the best of our own righteousness, what we decide is righteousness, is just like filthy rags to him. And if it's filthy rags to God, then the righteousness is as filthy rags. It is filth. Truth be told, no one is received into heaven by living on their terms. The only way we're received into heaven is by living on God's terms, living by his rules. And one of the great rules of access to heaven is a righteous lifestyle, righteousness as determined, defined, illustrated by God. It's his heaven, so they're his rules. And so many of us can be so lazy, so half-hearted about living the way we should, especially if life is constantly a breeze for us. Some people, because of their personality, their nature, because of the way they're wired, they'll just go ahead and do what needs to be done because it's right to do what needs to be done. You know, you have that child. You all have heard about it. That child in the family who doesn't need to be spanked, does need to be disciplined in one way or another, but doesn't necessarily need to be spanked, at least not often, because for that child, very often, all it takes is a look that lets the child know daddy is not pleased. Daddy is displeased. And the child loves the father so much that she wants to do right. And she wants to hurry up and clean up her act because she loves daddy so much. It's not even the punishment that she's trying to avoid, the punishment of being spanked, maybe even being fussed at. For her, the issue is, I know that I've done something that has taken away from Daddy's happiness. I love my daddy so much, I don't want to do that to him. And that's all it takes for that rare child to immediately clean up their act. But we know most children are going to have to be put on punishment. They're going to have to be put in timeout. They're going to have lose some TV privileges. They're going to have to lose some recreational privileges. They're going to have to feel the sting of the belt on their hinies. Some children really are going to have to be fussed at. And I mean really fussed at, because the gentle approach just does not work for them. There's nothing wrong with a gentle approach. It's the child's attitude. It's the child's personality. It's the child's disposition that is the problem. And some children, many children, simply require harsher treatment, a harsher approach, in order to motivate them to get their act together. But it's also about this. God knows that He sent His Son into this earth to suffer for all of us, including the ones who have made up their minds that they're going to hate God no matter what. They've made up their minds that they're not going to live to please God no matter what. And some people make that decision. They are so unwise. They're so far to the extreme of that spectrum of wisdom. They've moved so far from being very, very wise to the other extreme that even when the punishments come, they still won't change. But God is so often sending the hard times into our lives to continue the process of salvation, for many of us to begin that process, so that we finally say, you know, Lord, I know that I'm getting spanked, I'm getting whipped because of the way I've been living, because of what I've been doing. I've earned this spanking, and finally I get it now. Please forgive me for all of my sinning. Cleanse me from all of that filth that has upset you. Make me clean. Help me become one of your faithful children. Not just a child who follows for a little while to get from under the punishment and then go back to being the way you were. That's not change. The change comes when we have decided that now it's all about pleasing my Creator. Even though I'll make mistakes here and there, even though I'll do wrong here and there, my mind is made up that I'm going to get better and better and better at pleasing God. And I know He'll help me, because He'll give me His Spirit. He promised He would. And I know His Spirit is strong enough to help me please my Creator, my God. And so He'll go ahead in His mercy. He brings those to us. He brings those hard times to us because He is working very, very diligently to save us from eternal destruction, where we will have eternal torment, eternal misery, with no breaks in the misery whatsoever. No breaks in the flow of misery. He's trying to save us, even the most hateful amongst humanity. He's trying to save them from that. He's trying to save you from that. That's how the trial becomes mercy. What about for the person who has given his or her life to the Lord God? Hard times for them too? Yes, absolutely. Because even after we've given our lives to the Lord, we still need to keep on working and working and working at further purifying ourselves, trusting God to do what only God can do in purifying us, but making sure that we do what God has given us the responsibility of doing when it comes to purifying ourselves. James chapter 1. Purify yourselves of all remaining sin, unrighteousness. And the understood subject is you. You purify yourselves of the remaining unrighteousness. that which you didn't get rid of before. Be striving to get rid of it now. Mercy. Because he knows that if we don't continue to follow the way, if we don't continue in the faith, no matter what comes, he knows that we won't be received. We can't just start. We have to start, continue, and finish. That's why he tells us, he that endures until the end is the one that shall be saved. Shall be. It's a guarantee. If we endure to the end. When we come back from the break, I'm going to let you know how this song came about for Laura Story. I know that a number of you have heard her story, but I know some of you have not, and I want to share with you what that's about when we come back. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you. Please know that God really is merciful, even when he's being tough, even when he's sending storms into our lives. He knows how we are. So many people are so extremely stubborn, so extremely proud, so extremely arrogant, will refuse to just acknowledge how sinful they are. We'll refuse to acknowledge what's really in them. Contrariness, an inclination towards being oppositional, mean-spiritedness. Some people who are still struggling with sexual sin. People who are still engaging in their pleasures of gossiping and slandering. All of which are unacceptable to God. And we've got to be getting rid of that, getting rid of that, getting rid of that. On purpose. And for eternity. How often do you blow into some tissue so you can get the filth out of your nose, out of your head, out of your body? And then once you fill that tissue with that germy, bacteria-infested, virus-laden stuff, mucus that came out of your body, how often do you try to put it back in you? How often do you try to put that stuff back into your body? It came out for a reason. And it's the same way with sin. It's the same way with unrighteousness. It is filthy. Does nothing to benefit us whatsoever. And that's why God wants us to get it out. Get it out and keep it out. It takes hard work. It takes perseverance. And for some people, their love for sin is just so strong that it takes a lot for them to get to the point where they say, you know what? I need to get rid of this. This is messed up. I'm loving something that's destroying me. Because you got to believe me, people, when I share with you, when I tell you, it doesn't matter how much we enjoy our sin. All sin is our enemy. It doesn't matter how rich and powerful you are. You can pick up a phone, try to cause something ugly to happen to someone. That's sin. And although you enjoy it, the sin itself hates you. And it wants you to engage in the sinful activity that you're engaging in so that you can continue to bring destruction on yourself. Because the sin, which the New Theological Dictionary describes as an organized body that works against us to destroy us. Organized force, an organized body that deliberately works against us. Your sin, no matter how much you love it, your sin, no matter how much you enjoy it, hates you. And it is deliberately working towards your destruction. God knows that. He wants you to come into the knowledge of that fact so that you can begin to hate sin as much as your sin hates you. so that you begin to side with God and let him save you from your sin. The Lord God sent the Lord Jesus to suffer, to die, to be raised from the dead and to ascend back to heaven so that he would have power over death and have power to save us from our sin so that he could also save us from eternal death. When we come back briefly, I'm going to share with you Laura's story. Her name is Laura Story, but I'm saying Laura's in possessive form, Laura's story that gave birth to this song. And then we're going to talk about the one whom Sarah gave birth to as a result of the promise and the working of God to Abraham and to Sarah. And we're going to move right to this tremendous test, trial, test of Abraham's faith. Stay with me.